Victor has 5 more minutes because I want to get an update on Ukraine-Russia crisis and the Israeli operative, Laura Loomer's over there with Zelensky right now. You can't make this up. But Trump at the World Cup celebration yesterday, refusing to go off the stage as the head of it tries to drag him off, posing with the photo, and then leaving afterwards, is indicative of, again, frontal lobe dementia, where you act like a kid, where you're just like standing in front of the television. My parents would have people over to watch the Dallas Cowboys when I was like 3 years old, and I'd dance around in front of the TV. I mean, this is what little toddlers do. I'm not even trying to attack Trump. This makes me sick to my stomach. But you add this type of craziness, it just smells of nuclear war and death to have this guy in charge of all this. As Tucker said yesterday, he's really not in charge. And, you know, I said 25th Amendment, and when he said kill the whole culture of Iran, glowing crater, that meant nukes. I said, if he's serious about that 25th Amendment, at this point, he has half-baked all this. It's a total disaster. And I just want to completely divide myself from Trump 100%, no matter what he does now, no matter how much good and other stuff. This war is too dangerous. This is all too evil. And I just say 25th Amendment, but that's me on record. I want to be 100% clear in front of God and everybody that I'm not with this demon-possessed thing or whatever he's become. And pray for Trump. Maybe God can reach in there and get the demons out of him. I'm serious. But Victor, in closing, give us a quick update. I appreciate you, Real Victor Boot on X, on the real conflagration, even worse than Iran. The situation in the NATO war against Russia.
Okay, cool. Look, the Russia keep pounding Ukraine. Kyiv don't have enough interceptors, so the Russian army pounding the Kyiv and destroying all the targets, and they their Patriot systems hardly, you know, one or two interception, if any. So there is a lot of damage done to the capital, and it's nonstop also destruction of the infrastructure, whether it's at the seaport of Odessa, where the Russia start also attacking for the first time all cargo ships going or docking at the Ukrainian ports in Odessa or in the same Black Sea region, which Ukraine's control. Russia succeeded to knock out over 200 the trucks and engines for the railroads, which is implicating their logistics, because 90% of the military cargo in Ukraine are moved by the railroads. This is number one. Yes, they try to hit Russia. They every day trying to attack Moscow. Just past night, there was over 300 drones which is heading to Moscow was intercepted. Three of them reached some suburbia in Moscow and damaged. Small destruction on civilian sector, and several people also fortunately dead. Plus, the Ukrainians heated our equivalent of the ozone distribution center, which is brought a huge pile of smoke, and this was a purely civilian distribution center. Despite they tried to claim, oh, it's work for the military. No, in Ukraine, Ukrainian logistics, everything of them, all their shopping centers works for the military, where they used to store the military equipment there. They use the humans as a shield and putting their, you know, system within the housing projects. Well, very important also for your viewers and listeners to know that the fuel crisis in Russia are now under control. There is no any more waiting lines in capitals of many. I just returned from the trip. So in many, many regions now, there is no problem with the fuel. You can refuel. You don't need to wait anymore 3 hours. It takes you 5 minutes. Yes, there is several regions, but I hope within the week or two maximum, this would be completely sorted out. So Ukrainians never achieve their target by trying to cause us a fuel crisis. That's basically, in a nutshell, a, you know, roundup. Plus, our army every day pushing the front line further. Yes, right now, the kill zone reaching up to 50 kilometers. Of course, it's a challenge. Even you pushing up to keep the zone under control, but the Russian army...
All right, Victor Boot, thank you. Real Victor Boot, hopefully we're here next week to talk and not all dead. Thank you, sir.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. 50. Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and make the purchase now.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and make the purchase now.
When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100 plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
They called me crazy, they called me paranoid, but now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I F***ing Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on alexjoneslive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Reality starts here, AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today. All right, it's got to be 6 months. He can correct me on the time, but Mark Mitchell is hands down one of the best pollsters, if not the best pollster in the world. He's also got a big business background as a top executive at major companies, so he has real-world smarts, and his polling has been the best. And election after election, and of course, off one of our interviews last year, he got summoned to the White House to try to talk sense into Trump. Obviously, that didn't happen. Things have gotten a lot worse. We've been wanting Trump to succeed, but I got to tell you, the stuff I see, Israel leading him around by the nose, bragging they control him. He says they don't control him, but they do. Even the vice president's had to break with him. J.D. Vance breaks ranks in gamble for power. How about he's distancing himself? So he left Rasmussen, and this is his first big interview, and I'm very honored he's here with us. I really appreciate that. He's launched Honest Pollster at Honest Pollster on X and Honest Politico also on X and TheHonestPoll.com, TheHonestPoll.com. And I'm going to have that bookmarked daily. Always checked his X account 10 times a day or more because I like to tune into people that have a track record of being accurate. That's who I surround myself with. That's what I do. That's who our guests are, is the experts. And Mark Mitchell is right up there at the top. So, Mark, there's so much I want to ask you, and I appreciate you being here today. You're very gracious to give us the first big interview. I should ask, why the hiatus? Or is that private? We're very excited to see your new venture. You were the head pollster. Obviously, you're the head of Honest Pollster now completely. So your own ship. Mark Mitchell, great to have you. Obviously, we'll talk about Iran, the polls, even Laura Ingraham saying, punch out now, eject, eject. The numbers are bad. You were telling Trump before the slide started 8 months ago, 10 months ago about this. And then obviously what's going to happen in the midterms, what's happening politically, the Democratic Socialists of America, how they're winning and polling so well despite selling communism the total failure. So, Mark, great to have you, and I'm going to try to give you the floor, though. You know, I like to talk. You certainly spur my synapses, but I really want to get the big download from you. So start wherever you'd like, and thank you so much.
Well, first I want to say I really appreciate you having me on. You didn't have to do that. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen here, but I can't tell the whole story yet. But to give people an idea, I was silenced back in February, and my commentary had a lot to do with that. And of course, as you know, Alex, there's people who, if Trump does something bad, if Trump betrays his base, you know, they'll play with the carrot. They'll form ranks. They'll try and glaze him. They'll try and, convince you that MAGA is still doing great. But in reality, people who have their eyes open can see he's running towards a cliff. He's making terrible mistakes that are going to upset people. And of course, we saw this all really start in a major way back in last July, a year ago, when he talked about not wanting the followers of his who were concerned about the Epstein situation. And that's when I became most vocal. And I'm trying to do this to help him. I think that his platform objectively has a lot of things that Americans need. And I'll tell you, polling is hard, especially now when the elections are so corrupt, especially when there's so much money and foreign influence in these campaigns. And I try to be accurate, and I think I've done a very good job. But what it's starting to seem like is that there are very few of us. Rich Barris is really the only other person I can personally vouch for. There are very few of us in this industry that will put the voter first, because polling is basically commoditized. And most of the pollsters you see are down in D.C. They've attached themselves to major political action committees. They try and lobby and earn their money through lobbying. And when you have pollster lobbyists, you start to see an incentive for the results to shape themselves to what the client wants. And I will absolutely never do that. That's the one thing I can guarantee people. And so for the last couple of months, I had to be quiet. I was given free rein for 5 years to rebuild Rasmussen Reports. It was in a very, very bad state when I took it over. Basically, he had no corporate leadership. It didn't have a pollster. They couldn't find anybody. They could only pay me to do it part time. And I objectively, in my opinion, saved that business through a couple of shrewd decisions I made related to their methodology, cut costs drastically, improved the accuracy. And believe it or not, in the 24 cycle, we actually made more money on my YouTube channel than we did in actual bespoke polling. And so
I wasn't going to interrupt right away, but you dropped a bombshell. We haven't talked. I've just begged you to come on. You politely said, not ready yet. I'll tell you when time comes. So I don't think anybody knew what was going on. I think you're disclosing this here for the first time. But wow, here's the vice president seeing the show, wanting you to come warn Trump, what, 8-9 months ago, whenever it was. And then suddenly the censorship comes in, which shows the powerful forces that don't want him to know the truth, or maybe he gave the order. And then Rasmussen, I'm reading into this, told you, hey, stop it. So you, with integrity, you leave to do your own thing. Honest poll. I mean, give us the details. I'm kind of filling in the blanks here, but this is wild. I wanted to get you on about your foresight that's so amazing. But I was just as a side issue, hey, where you been? Wow, that is a big story. Because for people that don't know, and you're the expert, they don't just want you to change what you're polling so Trump doesn't get mad and wake up. It's also would become a form of deceptive poll when you take a credible pollster and have him put out lies. That could create a perception that what Trump's doing popular when it's not, like CNN saying 100% of MAGA agree with the war when, and they sample, what, six people in a phone call. I mean, so you might want to explain that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and we can go into some of the ways that people are deceptive with the polls as well. But again, it comes down to representing the voter. And that's what I care about. I care about George Gallup's idea of what polling really should be, which is like the referee in a democracy. And so if I get surprising results that say something bad about what's going on and like trying to predict the future and things are going to be bad in future elections, somebody that cares about the voter and cares about the Trump agenda and the things that he was going to do to fix America would scream loudly, doing something wrong, warning, like, stop attacking your base, stop contradicting people on the affordability crisis, stop going long 600,000 Chinese students. Like, these are incongruous with your base. And it's like when you're just looking at Trump approval and he's at 47 and then a month later he's at 44. It's easy to look at that and say, well, it's not like really a big deal. But at the end of the day, when you're attacking your base, when you're betraying people, you're really chipping away at your enthusiasm, your ability to raise money, your ability to get people to show up.
You were trying to get him not to commit political suicide. What, he's down to like 30 now on job approval. Correct me if I'm wrong, but just how amazing this is. You were the first 4 or 5 months in to say, no, he's going sideways. He's at a high at 57 or whatever it was. It's going to slide. And because you were so respected, they summoned you there. And I didn't know the inside baseball because we don't talk off air. You just come on as a guest. And I feel like I know you because I follow your work. But wow, did you ever figure out who put the pressure to shut you up so that you wouldn't give Trump real information? That's like saying you want to unhook the gauges on your car so when it's overheating, you don't know. That is just retarded.
Yeah, right. And I think I delivered a pretty good message back in November. I was trying to give him a path to winning the midterms. And it was like, hey, stop focusing on foreign policy, focus on domestic policy, worry about the younger voter because you lost them. That he went from a under 40 Trump approval of 60% down to in the high 30s. And now these people like Mamdani, and explaining the whole idea of corporatism and how people don't want to hear about the stock market. And I said all these things to him. I said also about cleaning up the federal government and showing people draining the swamp. Show us that you clean the FBI out. And what do we have now is like people just don't trust the FBI. Trump comes out and makes a speech about election integrity, and everybody's like, well, I don't really trust the government to clean it up anyway, so I guess we're just cooked. So I went and gave that speech, and I think what was happening at the time is that the loss of Charlie Kirk really hit the White House hard because he was a moderating influence. And I think particularly around things like Operation Midnight Hammer, I'm just presuming that Charlie Kirk had a pretty big influence there in let's just say moderating our involvement. And after his loss months later, you know, there was an effort to get other people in front of Trump so he could hear voices other than the ones that he's been hearing from, which are predominantly Fox News people, and large big business magnates and big donors. That's who Trump hears a lot of things from, and your Lindsey Grahams of the world. So that happened, and there was some stuff going on behind the scenes. There's a particular thing about a polling engagement that I don't really want to get into, but suffice to say, I was part of something I wasn't proud of. I never wanted to do anything other than represent the American people, but I feel like my work was used to misrepresent what America wants involved in you know, the mass deportation program. America still wants mass deportations. They still want these people gone. It's still an economic signal. They're worried about wages. Wages is the problem.
Well, it's not just still. Now, 8-9 months later, everyone agrees with you, including Fox News hosts. So they must be getting some internal polling that is just murder.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have an affordability crisis, and I didn't realize it would take the world this long. But when you have an entire system predicated on inflation, you can't really meaningfully lower prices without deflation, which would probably be great for Joe Sixpack, but it wouldn't be so good for, you know, our massive financially interconnected global banking system, right? But that's why, you know, focus on wages, get rid of the H-1Bs. Those are high paying jobs, get deport as many people as possible. And we could quibble about the self-deportation numbers, but I think everybody would look at the actual, like, remove from country deportation numbers and say that these are a little bit lacking. And some of that is because I think that limitations have been placed on those people. And if I was involved in any way in placing those limitations, I mean, like, huge mea culpa, but it was against my will. But what I will say is that after that period, now going into January, I was very vocal, very, 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 very vocal about we should not go into Iran. This is not what people voted for. And most importantly, it was going to suck the oxygen out of Trump's political capital. We're going into, and I mean, it was
and
just
you
like
specifically on my show said that the vice president brings you up there. You keep telling him, and just like Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard told him the world will be a disaster, the, you know, the mullahs won't fall. Now they put out another Pentagon report, just a copy of what he was given 5 days before they launched the war. And it said the mullahs aren't going to fall. And then he gets mad at people that do their job and tell him the truth. He's different than he was 8 years ago, even 4 years ago. What the hell, just as a man, a smart business guy, Mark Mitchell, what has happened to Trump?
I can only conjecture. I feel like, again, the Epstein thing was a very big punch in the gut, because I've been following Trump since probably early 2016. And Alex, I don't have any problem saying I was one of the original frog posters. I spent hours a day involved in the Trump movement. I wasn't a pollster at the time. But again, objectively, his platform has a lot to like, because it was the platform of a...
Oh, he was definitely a rebel. I was in a federal bankruptcy court and walked out and saw Elon come out and say he's in the list, and then saw Trump say, you're an idiot if you believe it. And I literally, and I've had family members die, I don't feel like this. I literally stumbled up to my Tahoe and almost threw up, because it was all dawning on me. And I could already see the future. I already knew what it meant. And I physically almost puked. Go ahead. It was literally like I was punched in the bread basket.
Yeah. And I think he had the right platform for the 2024 election. He knew what America needed. And there was always a big question mark about whether this administration would be able to staff itself appropriately with people on the same page as 2024 Donald Trump. And I think it's fair to say that in most cases that did not happen. And maybe it's the best we can do, and we're cooked, and we'll just have to see. But, like, again, I'm just trying to do the best I can. And what I can say is that in January, in middle of January, we did a set of polls that I'm confident in the results. And I know that they got to the White House and they were being looked at. And the most important question was, would you approve or disapprove of the United States using its military to help overthrow the Ayatollah in Iran? And in my opinion, that's a very fair question. It's not a push question. We're not baiting the people. It was only 17% strongly approve, 21% somewhat, and then 47% were disapproving, and only 28% of Republicans strongly approved. So there was not a burning desire to do this. Now, the problem is that you could cherry pick things to show Donald Trump if you wanted a strike in Iran. And I think a lot of people were probably doing that. Things like between 80 and 90% of America says, yeah, we should attack Iran to take out their nuclear programs. But the problem is when that, like, obviously to people who are involved in politics will become what the world focuses on for the next 3 or 4 months, when what we should be doing is using the last opportunity for Trump's legislative agenda, that was what this strike, in my opinion, filled the gap of. Like, we were talking about Congress laying out their 2026 legislative agenda, and then we're bombing Iran. And so any of these things, like, and I don't know if the SAVE Act was ever going to get passed or not. I know they don't have the votes for the filibuster, but we were going to, they were talking about potentially two different bites of the reconciliation apple. And that could have been a lot more of the MAGA stuff than what was put in the one big, beautiful bill, because that was probably just sort of like, I think that was probably a Republican pork bill in order to, like, the trade was, hey, Trump, you want your tax cuts extended? Like, we need to get this bill passed. And it all kind of went downhill from the one big, beautiful bill. So I know that these results were being used. The war was not popular. And also, even the tolerance for casualties is really, really low here. People are sick of these overseas forever wars where Americans die. If the United States needs to engage in military action to defend America's interests, this isn't even to, like, defend Israel. It's to defend America's interests. What would an acceptable level of combat deaths be for U.S. troops? 41% say zero. 10% say less than 10. So that's half the country. We're already there. We got there in, like, the first week or two, right? And then, again, this exceeded how long I thought it would take, even. And I don't think the world has yet coped with the implications for the American empire and the lasting damage that this may potentially have done to us at the expense of the domestic policy agenda that America was begging for and crawling over broken glass to get. They literally can't put food on their table. And then we replace it with something that is going to have continued ramifications that we cannot yet foresee on the global economic situation. And then also our strength on the world stage as a superpower. Like, are we going to even have bases in the Middle East right now if they could just be hit at will?
Well, that was my next question. That was my next question. Part of the Iranian deal they want is all of us to leave our bases. And Trump would never do that. But they've already had to flee most of the bases, and the ships have had to pull back 500 miles. So essentially, Iran is winning this. And then Israeli ministers, I played it last hour, are joking, saying, great, we finally got America to fight our battles. Now we can grab Syria and Lebanon, acting like supervillains. And then a regurgitation of what the Pentagon told Trump 1 week before Israel struck and drug us in. Washington Post, Trump's been given unanimous intel that the mullahs aren't going to fall and that this isn't going to work. So, I mean, this is incredible. So I got to say it. What do we do about Trump? I mean, what does he think is going to happen? Well, I should ask you that question. We're going to break.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen in the midterms from the numbers you're seeing? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, to just finish, I mean, to get me up to where I was silenced.
Yeah.
There was, after that, what basically happened is a February, March timeline where political parties allocate their political action committee spending. And for an independent pollster, that shouldn't be a problem. But in this particular case, it seemed to be a problem. And so I was told to cease all commentary, even though that's what objectively kept us in the black for the 2024 cycle. And so I knew then that I had to get out and do my own thing. And I think it was the push I needed. I'm committed to the American voter, not to any political party. And we've founded the Honest Poll. We're going to put out public sentiment work. We're going to do polling.
Mark, launch of Honest Poll is too important. I want you to come back and take 5 minutes to talk about this, because I'm going to be glued to Honest Poll. I'm going to be like white on rice, or you know what on, you know what. I am going to be all over this. We'll be right back. Honest Poll, folks. We'll give you the URL when we come back so you can bookmark it, thehonestpoll.com. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
I went down to the Mary Carter paint store. I said, give me one of them Smith & Wesson Magnum 44s. Cause there's a man that the law let loose and justice was not done. This man killed my wife and my only little son. I'll never forget the way he looked all through the trial. He had his big name lawyer and he had that smirky smile.
TheHonestPoll.com. Find it on X at Honest Pollster and at Honest Politico. Or Polco, excuse me. I can't even read right. Honest Polco, P-O-L-L-C-O. That's my dyslexia. I can speed read, too, but sometimes I just see things wrong. That's part of my weird brain. It's Honest Polco, P-O-L-L-C-O. Honest Polco and Honest Pollster. Follow both those as soon as I get off air or during a break. I'm going to follow those. But I want to just say something. Mark's agreed to go 30 minutes the next hour. We'll at the end of the hour, I'm going to give the number out for like five phone calls, specific questions for Mark Mitchell, hands down the best pollster of the modern age, because I tracked it all. And as soon as he took over Rasmussen, it went from being in the doldrums to just roaring to the front. Everybody was like, God, this is incredibly accurate. and the analysis, but think about, he's on the show, he's making the rounds, the vice president sees it, they want him to come up there, it's a three-hour meeting, Trump's in part of it, Susie Wiles is concerned, the vice president's concerned, Trump, okay, great, leaves, and then now everything Mark Mitchell told him has come true. It was already true then, it's just more true now, just worse. It's like, you got gangrene on your big toe. Well, now it's up the whole leg, and it's the same thing for me. It's the same thing being called, you know, low IQ and fried. Well, if I'm fried, it takes one to know one. And I'm not mad that Trump calls me names. I'm pissed off that he has self-destructed on us. And so I'm just asking, how do we salvage this? What's the angle? What do we do? I'm glad. I've been saying this for months. J.D. Vance needs to break with Trump and say he doesn't agree with all this. He did it on Rogan. Now that, you know, they're picking up on that. But that's where Vance has always been. And I think the Republican Party needs to divorce itself from the Trump brand of MAGA because, folks, the insider trading, the sweetheart deals, the dirty deals, even the New York Post is a total Trump glazing fest, brown nosing fest, said, my God, it's bad when Hunter does it and it's bad when Trump does it. I mean, they're putting Hunter to shame with the deals they're doing. Oh, but they get letters from the DOJ saying it's okay. I mean, this is crazy. And then Trump up in front at the World Cup ceremony for Spain won't leave. They're trying to pull him off. He's like, no. And he smiles and laughs once he's for the photo and leaves. I mean, we're talking, they got a name for that. It's called megalomania. It's called extreme narcissism. Everybody overuses that term. But Trump is not aging well. And again, this is horrifying. I've been persecuted, sued, attacked by the deep state for this. And now I am just in horror mode. But I'm going to shut up now. Mark, start over. And I'm going to shut up for the rest of the segment, and we'll take calls. Start over with the bombshell you dropped that they tried to censor you, control you. You left. You started Honest, thehonestpoll.com, thehonestpoll.com, at Honest Pollster on X. And now you're announcing today how huge it is. You wanted to finish up with why you did this and what you're going to do. This is amazing. I'm very honored you're announcing this here today. Please continue.
And I don't want to go into too much detail, but I will say that Rasmussen did not have commentary. I came and brought commentary to Rasmussen, and objectively, it improved our financial situation. And not only that, kept us from going in the red multiple times. And every day of my 5 years there, that was not a problem. It was well appreciated until there was a conversation that was had with more people than just in our company, where a political action committee was mentioned and Trump donors were mentioned and my commentary was. And someone else's too, but I don't think I should speak. And 4 days after that, I was told I'm not allowed to do commentary anymore. My book deal was pulled. They fired my YouTube producer. And at that point, I realized the writing was on the wall. It really does come down to, unfortunately, if you're going to be a political commentator, you have to be answerable to nobody except for your viewers, the American electorate, and yourself. And so that's what I realized I had to do. So I spent the last couple of months, we have thehonestpoll.com is ready to go. I just have to actually go into the field with my first national poll, which I plan to do this week. We're going to do at least monthly tracking polls. We're going to do a lot of work getting at to the real topic that I'm concerned about and something that we should talk about is capitalism versus socialism, because this is not an area where there's a lot of nuance on the right. And if they don't figure this out, they're just going to generationally be cooked. Like, they are going to be absolutely destroyed. And I can go into polling. But you had asked about the midterms. And
well, I mean, go where you want to go first. Go where you want to go first. Let's Democrat, socialist first, if you want to go there, because I agree that's the big threat. The boomers are blind to that. They don't understand the young people didn't live through the Cold War. They don't know what communism is. They're just hearing a free deal. A lot of these voters went for Trump. He betrayed them. So they're just desperately hitting the panic button. Go ahead.
Well, that's the future. We'll go into that as the future. So the midterms, it's very tough to predict what's happening. I would say if you'd asked me 2 months ago, the generic ballot polling looked like, despite all of the gains that the Republicans made with redistricting, they still could potentially lose a decent number of seats. Now, what's weird is that over the last 6 weeks, there's been an uptick in generic ballot polling. Rasmussen's last generic ballot poll was +4 for Democrats, which was a narrowing. Although Rich, I think, has the Democrats sitting at about +8 or 9 right now. Rich Barrish, People's Pundit, very good pollster. So the Democrats are probably somewhere in there, which means with redistricting, they might get like a moderate edge. But then there's a lot of like added confounders that are very tough to predict. And everybody says, well, look how much money the Republicans have. Well, every single one of those analysis overlooks the fact that Act Blue, that over 3 years ago had a James O'Keefe expose on the money laundering, the allegations, raised $2.4 billion starting at the beginning of Trump's term since. And a lot of that money is going to be used.
Where are the indictments? That's a big thing. In fact, one of the main things I hear is not even the border or even the economy. Those are the other big ones, or the war. But one of the four horsemen is, where is the justice? Where are the indictments?
That's right. And if you look at, it's like, okay, well, you're going to have this money disadvantage. The Democrats also, I just looked, the Kamala Harris voter in 2024 has a 10-point very excited to vote advantage over the Trump 2024 voter. That's going to have some impact. And then you also have the problem that almost every single one of these analyses of redistricting is looking at 2024 benchmarks. Well, that's how Trump did when he was on the ballot. That's not necessarily how Republicans are going to do when Trump's not on the ballot. And history has taught us over the last year and a half that in every one of these special elections that the Republicans are underperforming significant margins, not only what Trump did, but also what the polling says. And this gets back to like one of the other problems I'm seeing. So we've seen last couple of weeks an uptick in generic ballot support. And some of that could be like, well, it's the 250th anniversary and gas prices are coming down and it's the summer and everybody's kind of chilled out. But you don't see a corresponding increase in Trump net approval. And so that's what's kind of weird. And I
remember,
you're
a smart political scientist, so dumb it down for us. There's always headwinds for the incumbent party in the midterm before the election, you know, after they've won both the House and the Senate. So we already have headwinds. You add to that Trump making statements like, what do you care about the economy? No, I don't care about the average American, the economy. I care about war. I don't care about Social Security and Medicare. I care about war. I mean, if the Democrats could come up with things to put in his head to say to hurt him and the Republicans, he's been doing it. I mean, I would see him go down multiple points every time he did that.
Yeah, and I think in the old politics, all things being equal, people would look at this cycle and say, well, there's reasons to think that Republicans could buck the historic trend of the Congress flipping right after a presidential election. And the problem is that all things are not going to be equal. The Democrats are going to have a significant amount of money. They're going to have an enthusiasm edge. The redistricting, you know, we have this whole mismatch between Republican voters and Trump voters. They're two different things. And then you have all of the circular firing squads that are going on the right. They're engaging in a process that Rich and I have coined purification by subtraction. And they really want to maintain this unified, cohesive view of what the MAGA movement looks like. And they'll do it by kicking people like you out of the movement, Alex. And that's not the way that politics is supposed to work. You're supposed to try and maintain the coalition that you built. But we're also like losing, you know, small business owners and workers by doing things like continuing to import.
Well, sure. But since you raised me, I'm an expert on that. I can tell you, I didn't mind being attacked, except I knew what it would mean. Calling the biggest talk show hosts, we're not influencers, calling the biggest journalists and pundits saying you're excommunicated was just like saying, if you care about Epstein, you're not MAGA, you're an idiot, you have a low IQ. It was as big a turnoff for everybody, just a reminder of that. And so I knew what it meant is he threw in with Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, who both have flatlined. So he bet on the most unpopular vestigial midget neocon Israel First wing and said, tune into Mark Levin. That's my brain. I mean, again, if you were trying to destroy yourself, you couldn't do a better job. I wasn't horrified he was attacking me. I was horrified by the idiocy of the move, Mark.
Well, exactly. And for your viewers who, you know, followed you through this whole process of supporting Trump only to see this kind of thing happen, only to see
exactly,
the frustration.
We're all being betrayed together. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And so again, looking at the polling, it's like, okay, it could be a toss up and people are putting Senate map projections out that range anywhere from Republicans plus two to Democrats plus a few. The problem there is you have to be up seven to be tied in the Senate. And so we're not really going to have the Senate. And it's a coin flip, I guess, at this point about whether we'll have the House or not. But the risk is very big for the Trump movement. If the Democrats get in control of the House, it's probably going to be wall-to-wall hearings, like all the things we thought we were going to see, COVID accountability hearings, Dr. Fauci being hauled in front of Congress, Act Blue hearings, like weaponization of the FBI hearings, like all these things, auto pen stuff, all that stuff went by the wayside. We're not prosecuting any of those things. And the Democrats are probably going to do it because there's stuff that's going on, for instance, in like antitrust and with pardons that people have. Like, there are enough things there for Democrats to basically completely derail the rest of the Trump administration. Now, even if Republicans maintain a thin majority, we're not even getting much in the way of a legislative agenda through anyways. We're getting like Elizabeth Warren bills through. And at this point, you have to wonder, with the Republican Party pushing things like stealth farm worker amnesty, like, are they even trying to win? And a case could be made, no, because I've always assumed that the establishment Republicans really are just put off by Trump. Like, it's a confounder that gets in the way of their grift, where they make their donors happy and get bought off by pushing things through Congress, you know, the way they want it, without any real like person looking up for the American people. Like, I think that they just want to get back to that. Now, irregardless of what happens, I think what you're going to see after the midterms is a natural like loss of political capital of Trump. People are already talking about that happening, just because the way that he's talking about the Iran strike seems to be the kind of thing that you would do if you just want to like make everybody tired of you. Like, how many times are we going to unleash unstoppable hell on Iran between now and the midterms? People are just going to get tired of it and not want to hear anymore and just don't want to hear him talk. And it'll take some people longer than others, but increasingly you're going to see that. And especially if he loses control of the House and the Senate, people are just going to assume that mostly his entire political journey of like over 12 years now is just cooked and done. And then they're going to start thinking about MAGA. And I had this conversation with J.D. Vance last June, I think now at this point. And I asked him, I said, look, there's going to be a time in the not too distant future where people look at MAGA and say, well, MAGA is just whatever Trump wants it to be, because he'll take MAGA and turn it into Mark Levin. And so at a certain point, it doesn't create an ideological core for an effective political movement. I think that's fair to say. And so I asked, like, what's the future for MAGA? Is it a Republican thing? And how do you redefine it? And what should it stand for? And his answer to me was economic populism. And I think he's 100% right. That's what America needs right now. We've had too much corporatism. We've had too much corporate capture and corporate welfare. We've had a Republican Party that's been co-opted by big business interests, and they're not going to win unless they fix this. And I, you know, we talked about what that would look like. And unfortunately, as far as I know, he's really the only authentic economic populist national political leader we have. Like, I just don't think there are that many of them, because everybody's tied up by the military industrial complex or big ag or big pharma on the right. And, you know, in order to do that, like, one of the things we talked about is there probably needs to be new flows of capital on the right, because so much of that is allocated based on, you know, these power brokers, and it goes to the vendors who they say it goes to, and they get to control what the establishment Republican thinks by allocating donor bucks. And right now that's what's happening. We're taking a lot of Israeli donor bucks and we're funneling to the people that are good and not the people that are bad. We're taking, you know, donor bucks from big businesses that want mergers.
Well, that was my next question. What happens to AIPAC? It's thrown its weight around. It's primary people. It's bragged, but it's uncloaked itself. Now it's trying to merge with the U.S. military and the defense authorization, but it's caused a mass awakening. Yeah. How does the Israel First wing that's kind of taken over from the neocons and the rhinos, how is it going to fare in this? Because it may be able to buy off influencers with a couple billion dollars, but at the end of the day, it is as popular as cancer. I don't see this marriage going well, especially when Trump's a lame duck.
So the Knesset 2026 Hasbara budget, $730 million in a 12-month period, is, I think, unlike anything we've ever seen before when it comes to foreign influence. And as far as I know, that's just one program. That's not the sum total of foreign influence coming from the state of Israel. And already we're starting to see effects of what that does on places like Twitter. And I mean, just trying to think, like, objectively, I don't think that it's having the effect that they think it's going to have.
By the way, slow down. $730 million was the tranche they did 2 months ago. It was $500 million about 12 months ago. And then now we've got $45 million for AI text messages. That's out of the Israeli news, Ynet News. And like you said, that's just the official government doing billions of funding domestically. If the Russians were doing this, it would be called espionage. And again, I don't have a hard-on for Israel, but this is outrageous. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know what? You'll see a lot of people try and paint other foreign countries as the bad actors by taking apples and oranges and trying to compare them. And I see that all the time. And it's not an authentic argument. Like, that's what I want to get back to, is that the internet, especially Twitter, is the marketplace of ideas. And so you see a lot of arguments that just don't hold water. And so, like, long term, I don't think that this money is going to have the outcome they think it's going to have if their goal is to co-opt the Republican Party, make the Republican Party a winning force that represents the American people. It's just not going to work. Now, if their goal is to drag out the Iran strike for another couple months, I don't know. Like, maybe it's like a feedback loop that is getting to Trump or something somehow. Like, maybe that's how people like you got grouped into what is very clearly like a capture, separate, and kill like thing. You know, like, they're trying to carve out the parts of MAGA that they don't want here and then attack them with a unified front. And like, it's very clear that this psychological operation is going on, is being funded, and it's gross. And like, again, I don't think it's going to be effective for them at all. I think it's actually speeding up a process that I think defines the future of politics. And we've talked about this before. And this is the fourth turning. And even since the last time you and I talked about it, I think we've seen it progress. And I'll go over the socialism numbers here. So basically what you have is that, you know, your baby boomer, even though a lot of them are liberal, your baby boomer does currently define the Trump movement because they watch so much Fox News, right? And the baby boomers between now and the 2028 election are going to die off. Somewhere in the order of 2 to 3 million of those voters are going to die in the baby boomer generation. At the same time, you're going to have 3 to 4 million people enter the electorate who are 18 and first time voters and getting all of their news, not from Fox News, but from the internet. And every year after that, this pace is going to accelerate. You're going to see less boomers in Congress and the Senate, and politics is going to flip really fast. Now, I just felt like this is a very simple question. It's one that everybody tracks, and we've been tracking it very close. Which is a better system, capitalism or socialism? And socialism is up to 27. Capitalism is down to 49. But I'm just going to go through the age brackets here. Capitalism, 65 and older, 65%. 50 to 64, 58%. 40 to 49, 44%, loses the halfway mark under the age of 50. 30 to 39, 34%. And 18 to 29, the Zoomers, only 27% of Zoomers will say that capitalism is a better system. And that's because they can't buy a house. The women are crazy. They get shut out of jobs because of DEI. And they can't even go pick crops because the Republican Party is pushing through infinite H-2A worker visa programs, right? And so you're going to see this continue to accelerate. And incidentally, the numbers for Israel support are almost identical to these numbers for capitalism. And so you're seeing a younger generation, even the under 40 Trump voters, over half of them would say they would actually vote for a socialist. So Trump didn't win because of like Reagan conservative values. The people that pushed him over the edge, the big coalition, the people that bounced first were people that want order. They want law and order. They wanted Doge. They wanted rationalization of our economic system. They wanted economic populism. They really just wanted to be able to get a job and have a family. And they can't. They've been completely shut out. Every year that age gets higher. We're looking at average homebuyer prices that increase by 1 year. Every year the chart gets older, right? And so our entire economic system has basically had a wrench thrown into it. And of course, it's the two-party globalist, financialized Federal Reserve backed system, where asset earners get all of the spoils of war, and Trump is leaning into those people. Remember Dow 50,000, like, that's the golden age, and it's objectively not to these people. They don't care about the stock market. They want to be able to afford a house, and they can't. And so this is why they're voting for socialists. And again, they're not very socialist. The Zoomers only say 43% say socialist. They don't really, but they don't care about these values or ideals. They're just going to keep rolling the dice until they get somebody that fixes these things. And you know what? You already put these people through COVID. You already made it so that they can't apply for a job and get a job. You've basically turned their chances of having like a normal relationship with a spouse on its head through the feminist movement completely like undermined America. They've destroyed basically every institution. People don't trust the church. They don't trust the federal government. So they have no trust. They're unhappy. They feel like they've been shut out, and they're going to get power. They are going to get power. And they are going to go after the Republicans first, because the Republicans are basically the old heads that don't get it. The Republicans, by doubling down on boomer capitalism, by doubling down on the stock market stuff, by doubling down on corporatism, are making themselves a huge target.
Oh, and the boomers, like, okay, on average, and boomers call and say, I'm sending them out. I'm talking about in general, folks. You know, it's like saying the majority of violent crimes committed by young black men. Most blacks don't do it. We're not singling out all blacks. We're saying this is the demographic. Boomers, on average, are selfish and delusional and live in their own world. And they don't know the left's going to take over and euthanize your asses. I mean, we are facing a communist takeover. And you try to warn them, and they think it's funny, and they have no idea. I totally agree with you. I want to give the number out for callers to ask Mark Mitchell, one of the best pollsters in the world. Now we learn basically blocked and censored. So he left Rasmussen that he headed in polling, took it to number one. Incredible. Now he's launched thehonestpoll.com. Follow him on X at Honest Pollster. Absolutely essential and honest poll co, meaning political company. The number to join us, we'll put it on screen here for everybody, is 512-266-0642. Dial your country access code if you're calling from outside the U.S. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. And I'm so upset about the Iran thing exploding and everything going completely insane, what we knew it would, that I have the only plug once today. That's how we fund ourselves, the Alex Jones Store, live.com. It's rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. Our shopping cart is TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's how we fund this. It's you. We don't get the Israeli paycheck, the Republican paycheck, the Democrat paycheck, because if we did, they could control us. That's why a direct sale, great supplements, T-shirts, books, films, you know, silver coins, knives, great water filtration, highest rated at low prices. I just sell you stuff I use, stuff I like. Hey, I think I'd like this shirt. Hey, this is a high rated water filter at a lower price. Hey, I love this turmeric. Hey, I love this methylene blue. Hey, I love this T-shirt, you know, that says Rebel Scum since 1776. You know, make Orwell fiction again. More 1776, less 1984. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And the whole reason we operate, you call in thanking me all day. Hey, look in the mirror, baby. I need your support. I need your word of mouth. I need your prayer. We're changing the world. We're reaching tens of millions of people a day. But we're powered by you. You want to know who my special constituents are? You want to know who my lobbyists are? It's you. And so, like Mitchell said, his audience is himself and his conscience. Well, at the end of the day, my audience is God. I'm going to say whatever I think is most accurate, and may the heavens fall as long as justice is done. We'll be back with your phone calls and more with Mark Mitchell.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the Aquapure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones Store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha.
you have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.